We have started Lent this past Wednesday. I've taken on a discipline of every day spending about 10 to 15 minutes in meditation, mindfulness, trying to slow my life down. It is a challenge for me, but I think it's something that I'm looking forward to seeing the fruits of it after a 40-day period. We do this every Lent. We think of the things that might change our lives, something that we can take on as a discipline that will hopefully allow us to become closer to God. We are also, on this first Sunday of Lent, we always hear about Jesus' temptations in the desert. 40-day period. And we make this connection between those temptations and our work, the work that we must do in order to make ourselves closer to God. Now, I will tell you that they do have some similarities, you know, fasting and prayer and penitence and 40 days. All of these things make them somewhat similar, but I don't think they're exactly the same. See, this 40-day period, it came right after Jesus' baptism. That was the first words of the gospel lesson today. After the baptism, after Jesus' baptism, after he'd been to the Jordan River, and at that occasion, there was a voice from heaven that was heard, and it said the following thing: "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you, I am well pleased." That pretty much sets the stage for Jesus. When you're baptized and the heavens open up and there's a voice that comes down and resounds out of this great cloud, and it says that you are my Son, that is saying something. And Luke is introducing Jesus in this way, saying Jesus is going to do something amazing. But we know a lot of stuff. We've heard Jesus' story. We formed a church around Jesus' story and his teachings and what he did at the resurrection. We have based everything around him. We know a lot. But if you're reading the gospel for the first time and you come across the baptism and it says God is saying, "Oh, this is my Son, my Beloved," they start looking back at what happens to children of very powerful beings. If you look at Adam and Eve, they're two sons. One of them killed the other. You have Eli's sons were so corrupt in their leadership that God had to choose another judge by the name of Samuel to take their place because they couldn't handle it. You have David's sons who were fighting against each other and had a coup attempt against their father. You have Solomon's sons that split the kingdom apart. You have Jacob and Esau, the sons of Isaac, who argued about their birthright, one of them tricking their father into giving the birthright to the other. You have Jacob's sons beating up on their other brother, Joseph. All of these are stories of children of people that we know who didn't use that birthright very well. So as you're reading into this fourth chapter of the Gospel of Luke, and you come upon God saying, "Yes, this is my Son," then there needs to be, is this going to be a good son? Or is this going to be a bad son? What's going to happen? And when do you find out if somebody has integrity? When no one is watching. We all know that. When can you know that you have all of the metal to keep up things? When you are most vulnerable. So we have this story in the fourth chapter of Luke about Jesus going off alone, being fasting for 40 days, being very hungry, being in the most vulnerable state, and he is tested in three ways. The first of those tests was about bread. Now, Jesus was famished, as I just said. It would be, the one thing about these temptations is that they're not necessarily good and bad in the same sense of, it's not like, "Oh, I'm going to strike down people on your behalf." There's some nuance here. If Jesus were to take this temptation about bread, changing stones into bread, he could not only feed himself, but then he could go out and he could feed other people. He could feed them the food that they need if they're hungry. But Jesus responded, "One does not live by bread alone." Now, the second temptation that was offered Jesus was power. So look at all of these kingdoms of the world, Jesus, the devil said, and I will give you authority over them. Now at the time, think about Jesus' context, this was an amazing gift. You can get rid of all of the Roman Empire, and you can take over, and you can bring the justice that you want to bring into this world. The justice of being a ruler that is good. But Jesus said, "Worship the Lord your God and serve only him." The third temptation, I think it's something about pride. The devil takes him up, looks out over the temple, up on the top of the temple, and says, "Throw yourself from here. The angels will save you, and that will prove to everybody that you are special. That you not only have the blessing from God that we heard, but you can influence everybody if the angels save you as you throw yourself from the top of the temple." Jesus responds, "Do not put the Lord your God to the test." Jesus shows his integrity when tested by himself, and at his most vulnerable state, he shows that he is true to his ultimate goal, which is not having worldly power or influence. His ultimate goal was to bring God's kingdom here, to bring God's kingdom among us. That was his goal. That's what he was called to do and be. Luke is introducing Jesus as this person who is going to change the world. This is the end of his introduction of this main character in his story. And he's showing it by giving a little preamble to what Jesus will be doing for all people. Because consider, the first one was bread. And after Jesus went out into the world, he started feeding people who were hungry, not for food, but something much more eternal, for joy and peace and love in their hearts. And Jesus gave that. He gave it every single day. Because that was his goal. That's what God's kingdom is all about. The second temptation was about power. But Jesus said, "I didn't want to do worldly things. I want to bring the power of God into this world. Because kings and queens will go away, but God will be there forever. This kingdom is much more about justice and peace than it is about who's got the right power and who's got the influence and who can talk more than the other person and who has the biggest armies. It's really about these two things that are most important." And Jesus preached about these things throughout his life and ushered them into this world upon his resurrection. And then we have pride. Jesus said, "I don't want to be known because I can be saved by angels. I'm going to have enough faith that I will give myself up on the cross because I know that life will always overcome death." Jesus is ushering in for us something special, something different than what the world can offer us. Jesus is offering this into our lives because it is those things that are most important. That is what God is calling us to do and be. The challenges that we face is that we will be tempted by lots of things in our lives, whether it is for food or for power or for pride. We will hear these temptations every single day. The question is, will we learn that they are truly temptations, falsehoods, lies? And will we hold our integrity on what our true goal is? To live a life of justice, peace, and love. As we continue this Lenten season, I hope that you will consider those temptations in your life and push them away. Let them go. And find what is truly most important. Because as you do that, you will discover the gift that God gives all of us. Amen.